Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
Thank you. This is Lawrence J. King, the host of Book Talk Radio in the house. And today is my honor to have as my guest, Suzanne Taylor King. Lawrence J. King, Suzanne Taylor King. This lady is amazing, and she is the total package. She's a certified master coach. Holistic nutritionist, positive psychological, and a whole lot more, among other things. And so without further ado, let's bring her on the air and talk about her books today on Book Talk Radio. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
To Book Talk Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did I botch your name up? Is it Susan? Suzanne?
Suzanne Taylor King. Perfect.
Nice. So before we get started, let's talk about your titles of your book and tell our listening audience who you are and what you're all about.
Oh, okay. Where do I begin? I started this journey over 25 years ago. And now I call myself a positive well-being mentor. So after 25 years in dentistry, changing careers and getting into fitness and nutrition and life coaching, I just found the immense need for positive influence when it came to health, wellness, and now mental well-being since I started studying positive psychology about 4 years ago.
Interesting. And
thank you.
So the work in dentistry, have you been doing that for quite some time or?
No, I went to college to be a dental hygienist, you know, right out of high school. And I did that for 25 years before slowly changing careers. I had one job where I worked as a wellness coach within a dental practice. So I was helping people get healthier, get off sugar, heal their inflammation in their body, quit smoking, and that just led me down the path to where I am today.
Do you feel that was a natural transition, predestined?
Well, I think that around 2004, my mother had passed away, and she was young. She was 67, and at the time when she passed, she was on 14 different medications, and I was 35, not married, no kids, and I just said to myself, there's no way that's happening to me, and I really went down this road of finding out what the healthiest people do, how do they do it, and implementing those things in my life for myself. And then obviously people started to notice what I was doing, and I started helping other people do the same thing.
Nice. So you teach people, direct people, show people, coach people how to become in the here and now, per se?
Yes. So I would call what I do mentorship because there is some coaching involved. There is some definite, you know, asking curious questions and helping my clients find their own answers. But really, for me, it's always been about leading the way. And if I'm not doing all the practices myself, I feel as though I'm not a good example for my clients, my followers, and I have a large following online on Facebook. I have a big in-person here in my local area, and I just feel like it's my responsibility to kind of lead by that example. So I work with people either one-on-one or in groups and mentor them on that journey through my experiences and my education.
Absolutely. So you're a leader by example. And so you have several books out there.
Yes.
Let me hear the titles of these books, and let's get into both of these books, if you will, and you know, give us a summary of what both of these books are about, kind of, sort of.
Sure. So mindfulness meditation is really, I think, the beginning stages of bringing people into the meditation world, because I think there's a lot of stereotypes out there about meditation, that your mind has to be empty and you can't think about anything, and I don't know how to do that, and people just dismiss it. And when I first started working with people in that area, teaching mindfulness and teaching meditation, because it's part of a positive mindset, is being able to be mindful. And I found that those misconceptions needed to be addressed. So learning to meditate and going through the steps in that, I thought were really, really important to share with my followers. And that just led to me putting the basics down, because I thought everyone knew the basics. Before I started working with clients in any of these areas, with food, with exercise, with mindfulness, with positivity, I thought everybody knew what I knew. And then I started realizing that I was different and I knew things that other people didn't. And I need to share those, because it really can be easier to live a happier, healthier life with just some basic techniques.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's many forms of meditation. I myself have a book out there called Meditation in Motion. It's a martial arts book, if you will, about the forms, the patterns, the yungs, the katas. It's a dance. It's also meditation. Because when you're doing that, you're lost in the moment, slash you're not lost, you're very present in the moment. It helps you physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, and all these things. So I can kind of understand where you're coming from. Let's go in there a little bit deeper. Would you say meditation allows you to be in the current moment, or is it an escape to get you back into the current moment when you're done meditating, per se? I mean, there's tons of different ways to meditate. What is your expert opinion on that?
Well, I think it's both. I think I found, when I started going down this road, I realized that I had been doing a conscious meditation since I was a kid. I was a daydreamer. And that daydreaming meditation I used to do when I was bored in school, looking out the window, watching the wind move through the branches of a tree, breathing in time with the wind moving the tree. I could tell 100 stories of what I used to look at out the window rather than be bored in the classroom. And that type of meditation is where I start people who are struggling with quieting the mind. Having them focus on something in nature is super powerful. And I think the more advanced forms of meditation, like transcendental meditation, I think are very beneficial for clearing the clutter in your mind, kind of like doing housekeeping. Besides the stress reduction, improved memory, better focus and concentration. I've noticed lower blood pressure after meditation. I've done that experiment a couple times, taking it before and after. Heart rate. I'm able to maintain my weight much better when I'm meditating and when I'm not.
Absolutely. So what would you do with a person that is delusional? The truth's not in them. They cannot see anything. The truth is not in them. They've always got their own version of the way the truth is. And everyone around them sees this, but they just can't see this. Are they smoking crack? Did they check out? How do you bring them back into the real world?
Well, I think this happens a lot for clients that are going through like a major life transition, like divorce, or maybe their kids left for college and now they're in an empty nest and they have no idea what to do next. I think that happens quite a bit. And I always start with the fundamentals of positive psychology, which are gratitude, forgiveness, and an abundant practice, self-care, and meditation is one of those practices. And I think what I've noticed, I would say in 99% of those clients, they, by doing the fundamentals, okay, I'm eating properly, I'm sleeping properly, I'm moving more than I did before. Well, now adding in the self-care practice of quiet reflection. It doesn't have to be a Zen Buddhist monk meditation. It could be sitting with coffee in the morning, getting up a half hour earlier, and journaling out your feelings and that mind chatter that's there, and slowly clearing those cobwebs and getting to a place that you can quiet down, not listen to other people, and tap into what your own inner voice is saying. And I think in today's society, we are bombarded with input. It's constant. It's social media, it's news, it's TV's always on, your phone's always in your hand, and it's inputs, inputs, inputs all day long, to the point where by dinner time, after dinner time, you either can't handle any more inputs or you're not even capable of having a mindful thought because your brain is just scrambled. So meditation is a way of quieting input, to not have any input.
Yes. So you would have to work the meditation into your life as to oppose working your life into the meditation. In other words, you set a block of time aside every day or every 2 days, and I'm asking, would this get it done?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the book Miracle Mornings by Hal Elrod. He's got a great story, and that hour of time that I get up in the morning before I have to. So if I have to be up at 6:30, I get up at 5:30 to do my morning practice. And it's 20 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes of journaling, and 20 minutes of stretching. And it could be any combination of things that, you know, fill you up in the morning, but meditation should be a part of that, or at least some sort of mindful practice.
I understand. Absolutely. So how has this changed you outwardly and inwardly, the practice that you do and interacting with your clients? Have you ever had to tell someone that, you know, you're just not getting it, or I don't know what to do with you. Anything
yes.
that's discouraging. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I have had clients that I have released because they weren't doing the work. And, you know, 2-3 weeks in, none of the work has been either turned in or discussed. And, you know, basically they were just looking for a friend to talk to. And then there's been clients where, okay, there's some healing here that needs to happen or trauma that needs to be dealt with. And I have an awesome therapist locally that I work with. So a lot of my clients will be seeing a therapist at the same time as they're seeing me, or they go to the therapist and then they come back to me when they're ready. And that's something that, it just takes a compassionate and understanding eye to know, okay, coaching goes to here, whatever level that is, and I can help somebody tremendously, make giant changes in their life. But seeing if there's something deeper going on, and I think that's the point where I say, okay, I ask the client, do you feel as though you need more help with this than coaching offers? Because that's where coaching and therapy, there's a line there. I'm not a therapist. I'm a certified life coach, yes, but that doesn't mean I'm here to give you therapy to listen to what's good in your life and help you make that even better.
So in other words, when you have your clients in front of you, you don't want to hear a whole lot of woe is me and my ass is hurting and blah, 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 blah. You want to hear more how they're doing so you can improve on their situation and get them going forward to stay doing well.
Absolutely. And in fact, my clients that are with me, like long-term maintenance clients, we only talk for 30 minutes, sometimes only twice a month. And the calls are, you know, have a specific structure. It's, we start off with what's good. All right, so tell me the amazing things that happened for you in the last week or the last 2 weeks. What did you do right? Okay, how can we do more of that? And then what has come up that's been a challenge that you're working on? So it's all in how you... You know, a challenge that you're working on is way different than complaining about your problems.
Absolutely. So, letting go of comparison, negative self-talk, it can be challenging. What is your secret?
Oof. Well, it still comes up once in a while for me. Nobody's perfect. That's why they... the God, divine, universe within, and appreciating the body that I've chosen to walk around in on this planet. You know, it's the only car I get to drive, so appreciating what it is and what it does for me every day helps tremendously. And through... Gosh, over 10,000 coaching hours with thousands of people over the last 10 years, I would say realizing that we all think exactly the same bad stuff about ourselves. And why is that? Why is that programming there? It was there to probably keep us safe back in prehistoric times, but we don't need that sort of protection. We don't need to feel badly about ourselves for our physical appearance, for our person that we love or the race that we are. And I think that awareness came only a couple of years ago, realizing that when I took my business from being an in-person business into the online space. And I was on social media for myself, but then taking myself out in public, social media as a business, and as, you know, because the business sues me, I had to put my picture out there and had to state opinions, and you kind of get bombarded with other people who do what you do. And I had to say to myself, okay, I can't compare myself to somebody who's been in business longer, shorter, advertises, and I don't advertise. And I had to just put the lid on it. I had to just say, I'm not going to read what other coaches do. I'm not going to read about the programs they offer and how much they charge. I'm going to charge what I feel comfortable with. I'm going to put out programs that I think women and men need, and just not look at it anymore. And that was a conscious choice for me. Now, that's not a choice everybody can make. So I would say it kind of depends on the person when they come to me, what we talk about doing. You know, getting off social media, you're still on it, but you're going to approach things differently by not comparing yourself. And I think when you're a mom with kids and you're around your mom, there's like this competition thing that happens. Who's skinnier? Who has the best handbag or shoes? And I don't know. I just never felt that peer pressure. And I've always been that way. I've been that way since high school. So I think helping women be more confident in that, that was my long-winded answer to that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the old saying goes, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, I like that.
And so a lot of us in life, we do exactly what you were talking about. We compare things, we look at things, we try to be things, we try to be who we're not. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. So, yeah, I like your well-rounded approach to this subject matter. How many meditations do you yourself practice? And do you like give your clients different forms of meditation each time they come and see you, or how does that work out for you guys?
Well, I would say for me, I do a 20-minute just a normal transcendental meditation, quiet, either seated or laying down, depending on how I feel that day, in the morning, 20 minutes. And then sometime middle of the afternoon, my office is in a sunroom off of my house, and my office where I see clients down is in a really old building, and I have a great view out the window of nature. So sometime in the afternoon when I'm feeling that afternoon kind of lull, when I feel I need a little bit of energy, I stand by the window and I do a conscious meditation, like when I was a kid, bored in fourth grade. And that only lasts for maybe a minute. So for my clients who struggle with quieting the mind, I have them do that for 1 minute and focus on their breathing. And when you're focusing on counting your breathing in and out, or maybe saying a couple mantras while you're breathing, that's good practice for quieting your mind. And every workshop or group session that I give, I do a guided meditation. And I love creating those on the fly, depending on who's in the room. So using my intuition, reading body language, I can kind of tell who's stressed, who's not, and what that group of people needs to hear. I have a group tonight, the meditation that I'm going to do tonight, the self-love meditation, because I know the group that's coming. And out of the 14 people that are coming, I know 10 of them. So I'm going to guide the meditation for those 10 people that I know and trust that the other four receive, you know, value from that too.
I understand. So how do you, in this day and age, raise a mindful child in this day of electronics, social media, and telephones and all the things that distract us?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we decided when we became parents is that we weren't going to have really rules, and before you, everybody goes crazy, we have a family manifesto. And so those are the guidelines that, and of course this didn't come into play until my son was a little bit older. You know, he was probably 4 or 5 when we first sat down and did our first manifesto, and he got to have input into what he thought. And one of his things that he noticed when he was 4 or 5 is that my phone was always in my hand or on the table or, you know, with me. And he asked for that to be part of the family manifesto, for when we had meals together, for there to be no electronics at the table. And I looked at my husband and I said, oh my God, I can't believe we've been doing that. I didn't even realize it. And he is already absorbing so much of what I talk about and what I teach that he's teaching us something. And that's awesome. So I would say that's the beginning. Have your kids involved in the way that the family is going to operate. You know, are we going to eat dinner together 4 nights a week? We made the commitment to 5 nights a week here at my house. So if there's a sports practice or something that involves, you know, everybody leaving, my husband and my son leaving at 6 o'clock, I make sure to sit on the table at 5 so we get to eat together beforehand. And that's a commitment that we wanted to do. And we also limit electronic time, which is, you know, doesn't make me the favorite person on the block, that's for sure. But I'm not here to be my son's friend. I am not here to be the favorite parent. I am here to raise a nice human being. And with that, I believe that you can't spend 10 hours a day on video games, electronics, iPad, TV. I think you need to know how to be a social human being and interact with other people, not on electronics. So we limit it during the week, Monday through Thursday. It's 1 hour a day. And on the weekends, it can be a little bit more.
Awesome. Yeah, that's old school. A family that plays together stays together. Yes.
Yeah. So, I know. I think being strong in that department is because I'm an older mom. I didn't get married till I was 38, and my son was born when I was 41. And I think being set in my ways as a person and the way I was raised, I think is different than, you know, the generation of parents that's 10 and 15 years younger than me.
Yes. So how would you say that you work with your clients to improve their lifestyle?
Well, it starts with lots of questions, and I do 4 assessments right before we start. So I do an emotional well-being assessment, a stress control assessment, a spiritual assessment, and an emotional assessment. And there's questionnaires that I've kind of developed over the years, added, taken away questions, and it gives you a score. There's 10 questions on each questionnaire, and it gives you a score in each area between 1 and 100. And depending on which one is lowest, that's where we start. And typically, it's with emotional well-being, and typically it comes down to what are you eating, what are you reading, and what are you drinking? What are you inputting into your body that's kind of contributing to negative or thoughts that aren't attached to the goals that you want to have?
Absolutely. It's kind of like, if you don't want the airplane to crash, don't get on it. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, if you want your life to be, I love the word optimized. I love the word well-rounded. Balance is an illusion. There is such thing in my mind as living a balanced life. And I'll give you an example. If you come to me and you're 50 pounds overweight and you want to get your life together, yes, it's going to be about food. But it's also going to be how you feel about yourself, how you feel about food. And if you want that to improve, if you want to lose weight, it is impossible to keep everything else the same. So the time to devote to exercise, meal prepping, and the reason to have you do, journaling is going to have to do, that time has to come from somewhere else. Has to come from your sleep time, has to come from your awake time, has to come from your work time, your family time. Like, I can't create time for you. So how important is it for you to lose weight and get healthy? I can help you figure out where to take the time from, but something else has to give a little bit. So teaching people that, I think, is one of the first things I do, because if you need to lose 50 pounds, I was spending an hour a day. That's the power it comes from.
I understand. So tell us where we can get your books and how the people can get a hold of you if they want to get on the journey of making a better life for themselves. Just plug that information for us.
Sure. My website is Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Taylor, lifecoach.com. And my book that's on my website right now, right on the first page, is The Art of Living Mindfully. That's a free download if you just want to grab a hold of that. And they can get in touch with me via Facebook or my website. There's plenty of places to reach out, schedule a little positive psychology complimentary makeover, I call it, where I flip your mindset in about 20 minutes on something negative that's happening in your life. And I love engaging with my followers on Facebook and on Instagram. On Facebook, my business is Tailored Wellness, T-A-Y-L-O-R-D, Wellness.
Awesome. So are your books basically, are they instructional? Are they self-help? What would you categorize your books as being?
I would say self-help, real-world instructional.
Awesome.
No fluff.
Awesome. No fluff. That's right. No pain, no gain. You got to give up something to get something.
That's right.
And so with that being said, Suzanne, we're going to sign off today, and I do appreciate you being a guest on this radio show today. With that said, enjoy your evening, and we'll be back in touch again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, and love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate having you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Lawrence J. King, your host of Book Talk, out of the house. And tune in next time when you hear about another amazing guest on my radio show. We had the privilege and honor today to be with Suzanne Taylor King. And so get out there and get her books. Give her a call. Hook up with her. She'll make it happen for you. There's a lot of people in this world that need help. And I'm pretty sure with confidence that she is one of them that can help you. This is Lawrence J. King, your host of Book Talk Radio, signing off. Bid you a good day. Thank you.